Okay, the title of this is Sunday morning, 7:31:22. This is called The Spirit of Offense. All right, I'm just going to read here what the Lord gave me, and then we're going to get into the teaching. God is love, and we are to love each other as He loved us. Satan loves to sow discord among the brethren and have us at each other's throats, fighting each other. This is what we see in our nation and across the world. But I believe that Satan always overplays his hand, and we're beginning to see people through Satan's plan, and they're uniting and pushing back on the enemy. I mean, they're getting their eyes open to what has been going on, pitting us against each other, so that they can unite and push back on the enemy. When we are united, there's nothing that can stop us, and there's power in unity. Now, I've read this scripture to you a couple of the last teachings that I've done, but we're going to read it again. This is Psalms 133, about unity. We ain't got time to fight, except fight the good fight of faith. Kick the devil out of everything. We're too busy to fight among each other, right? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In other words, whenever we from the top of the church to the bottom of the church are together in unity, that's where the anointing flows. Okay? As I said before, as goes the church, so goes the nation. If we as Christians can't get along, how can we expect the nation to? So we'd like to touch on that spirit. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 13. Wherefore, if meat take my brother, make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. This word offend here in the Strong's means to entrap, trip up, stumble, or entice to sin. To walk free from offense is to walk in unity. Jesus warned that offenses would come, and he also told us how to handle that offense. All right, with that, turn to Matthew 18. Starting with verse 1. At the same time, verse 1, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and said, set him in the midst of them. And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountain, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And so, if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went astray. Even so it is now the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should one should perish. More, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them, my Father, who is in heaven. Did y'all get that? If you didn't get anything out of this, right here. When we're in unity and agreement, we can agree together and we can receive anything. But if we're not in agreement, we cut off that flow. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then Peter came unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, I'm not going to read that part. We're just going to stop right there. No, we're going to keep. No, I need to read this other part. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. So God freely forgives us, and so he expects us to forgive. Can you imagine 490 times a day? I can't even really imagine 2 times a day. Usually 2 times a day you're ready to punch him out. Right? But see, this disrupts our faith. This disrupts our power. This disrupts the kingdom of God and speaking to mountains and agreeing and things. These little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Is it worth your faith not working? All right. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Charity should be love here. And though I bestow all goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. By forgiving, covering the offense in love, it will eventually handle the situation. Love never fails. Here, love never fails. Some people go to their graves, eat up with offense. I believe that it opens the door to sickness and disease. Yeah, Paul said this. This is Acts 24. Let me see what Paul said. We've had to do a whole lot of forgiving this last nearly 2 years. Acts 24:16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And I was reading my reference in my Bible, and he gave reference to the man that he judged that had been in incest with his mother. You know, at a time he restored that guy back to the fellowship. He didn't want anything to be an obstacle in any way. Okay, if you want your faith to operate, you will have to learn to deal with offense, and you'll have to learn to keep it out of your life if you want your blessings to flow. Here's Mark 4. It tells you that. Mark chapter 4. I remember years ago, Amber, when you lost your job at the hair place, they accused you of stealing money, and you were innocent. But I remember walking in Walmart. It was in the front of Walmart. And I remember the Lord saying, don't hold offense against that establishment. So I forgave them. Well, they called Amber back, gave her a job back. It turned out the manager actually was the one that was stealing the money. Yeah. So it does work. I know. I've seen it work. All right, 4:14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they had heard the word immediately received it with gladness. They have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And they which were sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. I mean, in this world today, with what we found out about all the big corporations and their agendas and all their horrible things, we still cannot hold a grudge against them. We're going to have to release them. Now, you don't have to go purchase their stuff, but I'm saying we don't need to get offended and hold grudges against institutions, against people, against, yeah. Are there things in your life that you have sown seed for, but they are just a long time in coming? Are you offended at people, circumstances, corporations, etc.? My example, you know, I told you about Amber. Well, she got exonerated. The truth came out, who the real thief was. And it was the thief that fired her, blamed it on her. Does that sound familiar? It seems when things don't go our way, we start pointing the finger, and that's okay if the finger is pointed at the true culprit. That is the devil. See, there's the one we target. Not people. Not institutions. We target people. We target the devil. Forgive the person, the institution, etc., and target the devil. Don't be your own worst enemy by holding on to grudges. Jesus was the ultimate example in this. Luke chapter 23. Remember the Lord gave me a psalm back when they first started the church. It was, forgive them, Lord, they just don't know what they're doing. Yeah, that's what Jesus said. This is 23:33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He save others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the son, king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters in Greek and of Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But the man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Everybody else railed on him. Jesus forgave him, but who made it with him? Him. Yeah. Pretty cool. All right, flip over to Colossians 3. Is it worth it? It's not worth it. All these people that didn't do what they said and all these things that happened to us, we've just had to get into a habit of saying, Lord, bless so-and-so. Lord, bless them. We loose them from any responsibility. We loose them. We had to eat it. We had to eat it. I mean, I didn't put this scripture in here, but it talks about, wouldn't you rather suffer loss than take your brother to court? Yeah. We live in a so happy society, you know. Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are but were above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Isn't that our goal? Isn't that what we're looking at, the higher things, the heavenly things? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for your dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And they put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You don't go into a funeral home and see two corpses arguing with each other, do you? Well, we're dead, right? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Yeah. Discipline yourself to go right to forgiveness. I was thinking about Maverick and going to gun zone. She said, well, it's a little too aggressive. If we need to be aggressive in anything, it would be our love walk, right? Love is our gun zone. That keeps the enemy out so we can receive everything good that God has stored up for us. If you want the blessing to flow, then be free from offense. All right, James chapter 4. We're nearly done. Yeah. Starting with verse 1. Let me get a drink. Verse 1 says, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even about your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? All right, just a couple more. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in my eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I heard someone say that a later translation said something about you're trying to get the toothpick out of your brother's eye and you got a telephone pole in your eye. Jesus said to bless our enemies. One more scripture here, or a set of scriptures. Luke chapter 6, 27. And I say unto you, which hear me, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy cloak also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And then you can give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. See, these are not just our pet peeve faith scriptures that we pick out. These are letters, and they flow. They've got a theme to them. He's trying to tell us, if you want to be flowing, then you don't be doing things that stop up the flow. Someone has to be the bigger person. It might as well be you. Because you choose the path of unity and walk in love and forgive, God can only let blessings flow on you.